Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Borderlines and Borderlands: Political Oddities at the Edge of the Nation-State is an edited academic volume associated with geographers Alexander C. Diener and Joshua Hagen, focused on the political geography of unusual international borders. Rather than treating borders as obvious lines that simply separate sovereign states, the book examines how they are produced through historical decisions, imperial projects, administrative compromises, wars, treaties, identity claims, and everyday practices. Its genre is scholarly human geography and border studies, but its case study structure makes it accessible to readers interested in international politics, nationalism, globalization, and territorial disputes. The volume uses examples such as enclaves, exclaves, corridors, contested lines, and ambiguous regions to show that national territory is often less coherent than maps suggest. Its central purpose is to use border anomalies not as curiosities, but as revealing cases that expose broader tensions in the nation-state system. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, borders are political constructions rather than natural facts. A central contribution of the book is its insistence that political borders should not be mistaken for natural or inevitable divisions. Maps often present states as clean blocks of color, encouraging the impression that national territory is fixed, coherent, and self-evident. The volume challenges that habit by emphasizing that every boundary is the outcome of human decision-making. Some borders follow rivers, mountains, or coastlines. But even these so-called natural markers become borders only when political authorities define, recognize, police, and narrate them as such. The book uses unusual boundaries to make this point especially visible. Enclaves, corridors, exclaves, and disputed demarcations look strange because they expose the artificiality that is present in all borders. This does not mean borders are unreal or unimportant. On the contrary, the book shows that constructed borders can have very real effects on citizenship, security, trade, mobility, identity, and violence. Their power comes not from nature, but from institutions, law, memory, and enforcement. Secondly, borderlands reveal how people live across and around state boundaries. The book distinguishes between borderlines as formal lines of sovereignty and borderlands as social spaces shaped by proximity to those lines. This distinction matters because borderland communities often experience the state differently from people in national centers. For residents near boundaries, the border may be a barrier, a resource, a danger, a livelihood strategy, or a marker of identity, depending on historical and political conditions. The volume highlights that borderlanders are not merely passive subjects of decisions made in capitals. Their movements, trade networks, kinship ties, cultural practices, and political claims help determine how borders function in practice. A boundary that appears rigid in legal terms may be porous in everyday life, while a formally temporary or ambiguous line can become deeply consequential through policing, settlement, or conflict. By viewing the state from its margins, the book complicates the idea that sovereignty operates uniformly across national space. Borderlands become places where the limits of state authority are tested, negotiated, and sometimes reinforced. Thirdly, enclaves, corridors, and exclaves expose the practical limits of sovereignty. Several of the book's most distinctive case studies focus on territorial forms that disrupt the expectation that states should be contiguous and administratively simple. The former India and Bangladesh enclaves, the Wakhan Corridor in Afghanistan, the Kaprivi Strip of Namibia, and Russia's Kaliningrad exclave all illustrate how sovereignty can be geographically awkward. These cases show that a state may possess territory that is difficult to access, surrounded by another state, connected by a narrow strip, or separated from the national core by foreign territory. Such arrangements create practical problems involving governance, transport, defense, citizenship, policing, and local economic life. They also reveal that sovereignty is not only a legal claim, but a logistical practice. A government must be able to administer, connect, protect, and symbolically integrate territory if its sovereignty is to have practical meaning. The book treats these territorial anomalies as analytical tools. Their unusual shapes clarify pressures that exist more subtly in ordinary border zones, including dependence on neighboring states and the vulnerability of peripheral communities. Fourthly, imperial and post-imperial legacies continue to shape modern borders. The volume repeatedly shows that many contemporary border problems are inherited from older imperial, colonial, and strategic projects. The Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan boundary is examined in relation to Soviet administrative mapping and the long-term consequences of Stalin-era territorial organization in Central Asia. The Wakhan Corridor reflects the geopolitical maneuvering of the Great Game, where imperial powers use buffer spaces to manage rivalry. The Kaprivi Strip is tied to colonial-era boundary making in southern Africa, where strategic calculations often mattered more than local social geography. The green line between Israel and the West Bank and the ambiguous boundaries associated with Kurdistan demonstrate how war, nationalism, and unresolved political claims can keep borders unsettled even when they appear on maps. These examples show that borders often outlive the political systems that produce them. Once institutionalized, a line can organize identities, security practices, property claims, and diplomatic conflict for generations. The book, therefore, treats border oddities as historical residues with continuing political force. Lastly, globalization changes borders without making them disappear. The book is positioned against any simple claim that globalization has made borders irrelevant. It acknowledges that economic integration, migration, supranational institutions, and transnational cultural flows have altered how borders operate. Yet its case studies show that territorial boundaries remain central to political life. In some settings, globalization makes borders more porous for capital, commerce, or selected travelers, while making them more restrictive for migrants, minorities, or securitized populations. Liechtenstein, for example, illustrates how small state sovereignty, financial regulation, and national identity can be intertwined with cross-border economic systems. Kaliningrad shows how separation from the national mainland can become strategically sensitive in a changing European order. Or that the book's broader implication is that borders are not simply weakening or strengthening in a uniform way, they are being reworked. Some functions shift upward to supranational institutions, some intensify through security regimes, and some remain embedded in local practice. This nuanced view helps explain why borders can be simultaneously more open, more contested, and more heavily managed. In conclusion, Borderlines and Borderlands is best suited for students, scholars, and serious general readers interested in political geography, international relations, nationalism, border studies, and the spatial organization of sovereignty. It is especially useful for readers who want concrete examples rather than a purely theoretical discussion of borders. The practical intellectual benefit of the book is that it trains readers to look at maps critically. Instead of seeing boundaries as settled facts, readers learn to ask who drew them, under what historical conditions, how they are administered, and how they affect people living near them. The volume also helps explain why some territorial disputes persist long after their original causes have faded, and why unusual border forms can create enduring governance problems. Compared with more general books on geopolitics, it stands out because it uses marginal and anomalous cases as the main evidence rather than treating them as footnotes. Compared with highly specialized border theory, it remains accessible through geographically varied case studies. Its strength is not a single sweeping theory, but a carefully assembled demonstration that the edges of states reveal fundamental truths about sovereignty, identity, and political power. If you would like to support Alexander C. Diner, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.